All right. Well, let's get into it. So I titled this one Staying Power. If you haven't noticed, if you're it doesn't really matter what spectrum you are on this one. If you're an employee, if you are a supervisor, you are a owner of a company, it doesn't matter. You will probably notice by now there's just not a lot of loyalty. There's not a lot of staying power. A lot of people just quit. A lot of people just move on. Well, first of all, let's talk about some fundamental reasons. The first reason, I got my water with me because I do not want to get dry. The first reason is we have technology, right? Back in the day, we used to just have word of mouth and our own understanding. Now with technology, we have more, here's the word, options. More than ever. The reason why I want to talk about this is because sometimes it's easy to fall into the trap of, what am I doing wrong? There is a possibility you might be doing something wrong. However, we have to look at let's look at the Carfax. Okay, so the first one is technology. We have more options than ever. Companies can get rid of people like nothing, and people can get rid of their companies like nothing. Why? Because I can just go online, Google search job.com, look up a job, and there's people I know in my personal life where they're just like, hey, I'm going to Colorado because I got a job. I'm like, how did you get a job there? Oh, I just went online. And there you go. Consequently, job's doing it. So we become more mainstream with our options. And more options mean, well, clearly I don't have to be loyal to XYZ things because I can easily replace it with ABC. That's the bare bone. That's the truth. Let me put this in more perspective. Our brains are being bombarded with so much information that 1 month with a cell phone equates to 1 year of information that someone who didn't have a cell phone back in the day. Think about that. So that means in a literal year, you've lived 12 lives. That's how much information is pounded into you. Which means our brains are now wired in such a way where I'm only going to do things that I value, that trigger my mind to say this is what values me. Also, that leads us to my next thing. Not only do we have more options, the question is, if I have more options, which one is the most valuable use of my time? Let that sink in. My friend told me, Andre, I don't go to the gym because I like touching iron. I go to the gym because I value the result. Now, I did a talk on this before called Values, but I want you to understand that it's connected to staying power. Another book I would recommend, it's kind of ironic. We're so focused on these silver bullet ideologies and methodologies that we've concocted in our heads, and we don't even have a significant strategy how to execute, and have we really utilized every advantage and option in our playbook to get the results we want? That is to say that it's very easy to talk about this stuff. I'm like, I think we should do this and I think we should do that. But actually executing it and being strategic about it is important. That's in the Bible. Even Jesus divided the multitude in 50s. That's a whole other topic. Success leaves clues. There are those who are succeeding and those who aren't. That sounds rough and callous, but there's reason. They don't just wake up and, I just don't know how I did it. I just figured it out. Everyone just stays. I don't know how I did it. I just fasted and prayed and just worked out on it. No. They learn from experience. And there's a book I recommend. It's a people skill book by John C. Maxwell. In fact, if I were you, I recommend these two people skill books. And the comical thing is, before I say them, a lot of times, I notice this in the church. I know this is in a lot of companies, actually. The number one reason why Gallup asked a question to all these companies, say, hey, why did you leave this job? You know, why did you leave Burger King? Squirrel, giving you more context here, but roll with it. I'm going to tie this all up. Don't you worry. I went to Burger King, and I looked at it. I was like, is there not a single car there? What the heck? I looked at the sign. It says, we have no employees. I said, good God of mercy. No employees to even run your operation. What has happened? There's one thing, you don't have any customers. You ain't got no employees. What has happened? All hell is broken loose. We can't even get people to show up on there. We pay these brothers. Well, I'll tell you what, the pay is not worth it then, whatever's going on. Or, as Gallup says, the number one reason why people don't go to their jobs is bad management, i.e. bad leadership. Now, why do I say that? It could be possible you have bad leadership or leaders in your organization, people who checked out, people who aren't bettering themselves at the best of their ability, people who don't are not introspective in their behavior. You have to factor all these things because it could be the reason. Best course of action, leave no stone unturned. Do what David did. Is there sin in the camp? We can't just look on the outside. We have to look on the within. They'll get every possibility. Which also means you have to kill your ego. You have to admit, I could be wrong. What are we doing wrong? And if we're not doing anything wrong, God bless me. God bless us. But we have to, I wouldn't say compare ourselves to one another is unwise, but you can, as the Bible says, let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. You can follow a mentality, a philosophy. That's pretty good. Follow the recipe. What's the parameters we're going by? And also, here's another thing. Is everyone in agreement? If the answer is no, we have these proverbial goals, visions, and dreams, but no one really knows it except you and two other people. Well, that's probably another issue. It's communication. I say this stuff because I'm an arbiter at my job, and one of the craziest things is how I'm looking at the policy of rules that they have. I'm thinking to myself, like, and you're confused why everything's backwards? The rules are so arbitrary and so ill-defined, and people don't even know the rules, but you're confused people don't maintain the rules. How can something be maintained if it's not talked about or not valued to the point where it's demonstrated? I digress. So, let me recite some of these points. The first one was technology. We have options. The second one is value. Does it give us value? And the third one was leadership. Now, there's a fourth one, and these are with the books. People skills. It's so funny to me. We don't need to learn more scriptures. We don't need to get more sanctified. We don't need to sound more theologically impressive and impress people and expound upon them how smarter. I tell people all the time, look, I don't talk, hopefully I've demonstrated this in my own podcast, but I don't want to talk from the perspective I know everything. That is not my objective. That is not my intention. My intention is I'm learning. These are the things that help me, and I hope it helps you. If it doesn't, hey, throw it out. Eat the meat, throw away the bones. But I'm not talking to you like as a preacher, as a schoolmaster. I'm talking to you as a friend from one another. This is what helped me, and I hope it helps you. I did this because I'm 27 years old in the time of this recording, and I want what I've learned to transcend me time and space, not because I'm going to die, but like it's archived. And if it helps my kids, if it helps someone down the line and encourages them, mission accomplished. I don't need to be famous. I don't need 32 million. I don't need you to subscribe. I don't need you to like it. I'm not asking for that. I didn't ask to be famous. I'm asking to be effective. And people who are effective and considerate, it shows they're committed. You don't check in and check out and try to get their ego stroked. That is to say, they're just trying to impress people. I didn't do what I do to impress people. I did this because I was drowning. Originally, I was drowning. 20 years old, I didn't know garbage from applesauce. I'm thinking to myself, how is any guy supposed to know this stuff and better himself? It's like the game was rigged from the start. I was rigged to fail. I was mad. I'm like, how was I supposed to know these books? If it had not been through faithful encounters and people expounding what they learned, or me asking questions, to say there, I guess I did some of my own due diligence and seeking answers, I'm like, I would have been lost in sauce. That's ridiculous. So here I am paying it forward to push back the tides of mediocrity and utter frustration. Hey, you're frustrated. That's a good sign because you're only frustrating things that you're emotionally invested in, but I digress. Okay, the fourth one, I think this is the most important. People skill books. We don't need more swag and theatrics and dancing bears in church or your organization. What you need is people skills. There's two books. Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. That is the number one people skill book to help the American steel mill. Andrew Carnegie basically revolutionized, I'm going to butcher the history here, but the American steel mill was failing. And this guy made the American steel mill into the superpower that it is. And all he did was he treated his employees like freaking people. I think chapter 2 literally says smile. Chapter 1 says remember names. I gotta work on that. Pray for me. Then chapter 3 says never criticize. Always ask a question. Never publicly criticize. There's all these fundamental, simple, free. It's not that hard. But here's the problem. A lot of Christians or a lot of people at their job, they checked out. They think, oh, all I have to do is this. Never realizing you have to be kind of like the Apostle Paul. You have to be multilingual. You have to be multifaceted. You have to master your craft in other areas. You can't just have a high vertical alignment, but, you know, damn the horizontal. If you really care for the results you want, you will do everything in your power to get it. And I mean everything, right? Have you execute every possibility? Have you asked every question? Are you reading every book? Are you looking up other people who go through this conundrum? Or are you just in your own head getting your own results and having insanity? I'm not castigating or condemning anyone. I'm talking to myself here. Get perspective for your problems. It helps you solve them. The other book I recommend is it's by John C. Maxwell. He's one of the best leadership gurus out there. He's renowned for making public speakers. He's renowned for communication, but also because he's a pastor, and I believe he was a young pastor when his father passed away, but he also was able to get things done in his church that other people couldn't get done, so they want to follow his example. And he, well, newsflash, people skills. How do you work with people? I guess another one you probably read his books about body language. Look how people, their bodies are oriented. I know you're probably thinking, like, Andre, that's kind of weird. I don't want to do that. Well, that's the difference between those that have success and those that don't. They take everything under consideration. Ask any salesman. They do sales training. When's the last time you got trained on how to be the best version of whatever it is you're trying to accommodate? I haven't gone to any training. Well, there you go. It shows. Ta-da. Hate to say that. But it shows in all our lives. What you value, you'll make time for. What you value, you'll make time for. There was people in my group. I remember they were talking about their lives. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to this training camp. And I'm going to go exercise. Oh, I'm going to go to da-da-da-da on Tuesday nights. It's like, wait a second. Tuesday nights we have a study. Yeah, but I'm going to go to this. So they had to make a decision between two things, and they chose that. Why? Well, hate to say it, they just don't value what you are offering. I like to think of it like this. If you offered a Ferrari that had $3 million, and I said, come to my La Casa at dark 30, you think they show up? Why? Because of the value you've placed on it. Or they understand the value. Have we articulate the value enough? Again, this is not an end-all, be-all talk. These are four fundamental things I've noticed that, quite frankly, the fourth one, obviously, is the biggest one, which is people skills, that affect your ability to have staying power. Of course, heartstrings are important in developing a relationship, but that requires rapport, that requires intentionality from both sides, all right? I love how John C. Maxwell, in the book, he says, communication is a two-way street. If I communicate, blah, 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 but they don't want to communicate to me, guess what? It's not going to work. Someone else is going to have to communicate to them or establish commonality. Here's another factor you have to consider. Do you know everyone in your organization? Well, I shouldn't be knowing anyone in my organization. I don't even know the new people. No. You see, you missed that. You're supposed to know everyone in your organization. So when you talk to a new person and they say, oh, I do welding. And then you say, oh, I know Joe. Joe's a welder. Maybe I should bring Joe over so they can relate and talk and establish common ground before we get to higher ground. They can feel like they have a friend in here. Oh, because I don't know anything about welding. And guess what? You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to be, I don't even know what to say to this, like a universal person for everyone. Newsflash, you know what I've noticed? Guys talk to guys, and girls talk to girls, and girls talk to guys they like, and vice versa. Most people like to talk to their own gender. It is whatever, man. It's tribalism, but or it makes them feel comfortable, right? I guess it's also our society we're in. Everyone thinks you're out to get something from them, but Common ground, right? A friend. Oof, I can go down a rabbit hole on that one. But you're like, oh, okay, these people have something in common. I can bring them over. So, and then it's like, oh, that's very intentional. Thank you very much. And you gotta be strategic. I'm not like long-winded. It's just there's so much I can exhaust on this that are transferable truths. The other one, it's like, oh, it just has to be organic. It just has to, you ever hear this talk, which is nice? Hey, it sounds nice, but it's garbage. I'm sorry. It's garbage. Here's why. Let's say we open a Panera, right? And I say, hey, bucko, you like bread, don't you? Yeah. You like money, don't you? Yeah. Okay. Have you ever owned a Panera? No. Well, here's the keys. Open up shop. Good luck. You're probably gonna say, well, that's dumb. He's gonna crash and fail. Yeah, that's exactly what the church does with people. Just go out there and have at thee. We don't give you any material. We don't give you any training. Just go out there with the wolves. And here's the problem. I think a lot of people make this mistake, especially leaders. They make the mistake of assuming that everyone is at their level. You will notice that Jesus, he doesn't do that with his disciples. He's always trying to like get them up. He's always trying to get them to his level. And he does. But it wasn't like that. He had to like, really nurture it, really get them to that point. You do not make the assumption that everyone is at your level, that everyone has read the books you read, that everyone has heard what you heard, seen what you've seen, has got all the experiences you got. Because if you make that mistake, here's a term you may not like, but I've been in it. You're jaded. You forgot what it was like to be new. You forgot. You forgot what you needed. Now, the fourth book. Oh, I guess point four. Again, I can't stress that enough. People's school book, because I know I got plenty of Christians, and plenty of Bible studies, and plenty of other organizations and bosses. I'm bivocational, so it's all connected to me. People are people, no matter where you go. Okay, people leave before they leave. Oh God. Do you know people test you? They test you because you got to recognize people aren't just hearing what you're saying, they're watching. They're watching to see, Andre asked a question, but when he asked a question, he got corrected and tore down. I don't want to ask a question. Ooh. That's why when I ask a question, I don't really ask a question to how should I say, show off how smart I am. I ask a question to provoke a conversation so we have a deeper understanding through a iron sharpens iron understanding, right? Want to get everyone involved and included. However, some people capitalize that and take advantage to show off their theological prowess or whatever knowledge, which is fine. These people's intentions, they believe they're helping out. Unfortunately, how they word and package their messages, it lacks people skills. Or perhaps they haven't worked in a profession that really needed them to be more smooth. Anyone who's done sales or got into a sales business or network marketing knows what I'm talking about. Anything with sales, really, right? Anything that deals with like calling names, like they're gonna teach you this stuff. Why? Because it helps. Duh. That's why they teach it. That's why it's very highly competitive. You can't just, oh, I'm just gonna call 1,000 names and number. You can call as many numbers till your tongue feels like sandpaper and your face is blue. You're gonna fail because you're not doing some certain transferable truths that are euphoric in the industry. There are some things you have to do so you can win, and if you don't, you've accepted defeat. There's no way around it. You want to open a McDonald's? You're gonna need some fries, patties, and a broken ice maker. All right, you need these three things, especially the broken ice maker. But here's the thing: they all have the same thing, and it works. If you don't do it, guess what? You fail. You imagine going to McDonald's, gotta get some fries. Sorry, we're out of fries. You're out of fries. What? Transferable truths, consistency. I digress. I'm gonna keep saying that because it's people, the people skills, man. I tell you what, it is like, people skills are the thing because there's literally books and books on communication. And oh my goodness. So it's funny how we all want that, and yet we don't. do a lot to really get that. No one is actually listening. I guess that's another thing too. Sometimes I just need to stop talking. But hey, you're listening to this podcast, so you're locked in now. You can just pause it, but like the archive the truth. Now, back to the point, staying power. We're only 20 minutes in. Hopefully that was helpful. Want to end on this one. Value, once again, the second point. Why value is so important? If you're not able to articulate your thoughts in such a way where it suggests to the person that my life will be better with this than without it, then they're going to leave. Case closed. It's true for anything. It's true for relationships, unfortunately. It's true for jobs, absolutely. And it's true for life itself. If I don't value it, why am I gonna commit my greatest commodity, which is time? Why would I invest my time in it? Well, I do it because blah, blah, blah. Yeah, of course, because you're more mature and established and understand the value. And the reason why I go to the Bibles I go to is, well, I value it because A, it starts at 7 p.m. I can make that. I'm busy in the morning. I like to learn and know things more. And the people there are very intellectual. There's a handful. People that are very intellectual, and yeah, it's great. Those are my values, and it satisfied them. Here's the problem, though. What are the values that the people are looking for? Which suggests to me you need to be more intentional. You ever see those jobs that are like, hey, what do you want to get out of this in 5 years? When's the last time they ask you that? Other than your orientation. You gotta have a long-term perspective. What is the reason why you're here? And if you articulate those reasons, or we can extract that somehow, then great. If not, not great. Really shooting in the dark here, aren't we? And you wonder why you miss. You can only shoot so many times before you leave. Now, am I saying we need to have a retention of 100%? No. But am I also saying you should have a revolving door and be frustrated? Also, no. That's a lot of HR. I want to give you some perspective. At the post office, 2023, we have hired the rule carriers, so like the guys in the mail trucks that just wear normal clothes. We have hired 88,000. Guess how many quit? 80,000. HR training alone for orientation is 4 grand. The post office has spent $32 million down the drain. 8,000 carriers remain. And some stragglers, we always hire more, but you get the idea from 2023 last year. Oh, by the way, that's taxpayer dollars. And by the way, well, I guess we're self-sustaining, but that's a whole other topic. The other aspect is, well, why? I'll tell you why. No people skills, bad leadership. I don't value this, or it's not the hell I go through. I don't value it over the paycheck. The value is not greater than the pain. Let me say it like that. No people, the first one. Well, you get the idea. And, oh yeah, and technology, right? We have the option. I can just bebop somewhere else. Oh, Target, $18. It's not $22, but I'll take the peace and quiet. Bless God. You can see how all these things are connected. And it could be all four or some. Now, it's funny. It gotten so bad that now the managers and supervisors, that's right. Managers and supervisors, the people who don't do that stuff are casing and carrying mails to compensate. You know what's funny to me? They are willing to case and carry mail, but if they weren't willing to learn a couple skills to be better, they're not willing to look at the mirror and be like, what could I have done better? Maybe I shouldn't say, hey, you're a piece of garbage. Hey, maybe I should have listened with it. Now I know you're thinking, Andre, that's a job, and this is a Bible. So these are two different things, right? Two different extremes. Yes, however, success principles are universal. They're transferable truths. If you were to apply that to here, there, etc., it's still true. It would help. We're gonna pretend. Because they're two different things that absolves me of doing everything in my power to meet you. You think after $32 million and 80,000 people quitting, you'd be like, I think we're doing something wrong here. We better check that out. What could we do? I'm gonna end with this. Because you got things to do, or you're pausing this video like 18 times. There is a hockey team, I believe. I forgot what sport it was. I forgive my ignorance. Excuse my ignorance. But the hockey team was so abysmal. I mean, just garbage. But this coach comes involved, good leadership. He had people skills, treat them like family. That's another good aspect of a great coach, right? He doesn't treat them like they're just bodies. Now, you might be thinking, well, Andre, I can't treat every person in my association like a person. I'm just one guy. That's correct. So you probably want to delegate the responsibility to other people. Here's the thing, you have to communicate that. If you don't, well, people will just do it on their own. Volition. Wrong. People are very sheep-like. They need orders and instructions. I hate to say that. So it's kind of funny how we describe ourselves as sheep in one moment, but then another time we want to be shepherds. So what is it? How do you vacillate between two polar? Anyway, I digress. It's funny how we use certain scriptures to justify our own hubris and then other scriptures to justify or to not answer a question. That's a whole other topic. Think about that, how we use scriptures to justify things, but and then other times we use it to anyway. So he had this hockey team, and they're like, my God, we just suck. Turn it around. And they became the best in the world. And then I think it was hockey. I don't know what sport it was, but it doesn't matter. The point is the moral. What the coach did is he asked the players, he asked a question, hey, what can we do that would make it better? Well, I would like it if my helmet fit. Okay, he fixes all the helmets. Get all their equipment custom fitted. What can we do next? Well, it'd be nice if we had da da da. And he did things, he made things, he said I think it's called the 1% rule. I think that's a book. 1% better. If I can just make it 1% better, what could I do at my organization and make it 1% better? If I can just make it 1% better, kind of like Dale Carnegie, right? If I can just make it 1% better, and he kept doing that over and over and over and over again. And guess what happened? We become the champions. Why? Because he says it's the power of 1%. What can I do to make things just not drastic, not huge? That's the problem. We're so focused on the magnanimous big things. But if you focus on the little thing, that little thing, do you know 1 degree off a ship's course puts in a t it can hit an island and not make it to Hawaii? Do you know 1 degree off of a determines if a pot of water becomes boiling or just hot? 1 degree. The power of just one thing can make the difference. Nothing magnanimous, nothing crazy, just one thing. Here's the problem, though. You have to be willing to ask questions, though. Which means you have to be willing to get uncomfortable and you have to shatter your ego. That's something I have that's something I'm willing to sacrifice. That's why I read books. Reading books and doing audios for me is basically my voluntary will and admission to the fact that I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But when you're the schoolmaster, everyone's a student, huh? And then what do you really learn? If you're the smartest person in the room, you need to get to a bigger room. I'm not the smartest guy. I'm gonna say that right now on tape. In fact, I implore you to learn and master your craft. Google it. Look at the best books on the subject. Read what they read. See, the fact that someone would take the time to write a book is a love letter and give you way more in-depth knowledge. I'm just giving you bare bones minimum understanding. That is insane to me. There's a book on people's, a whole book, 200 pages? This guy, I might concoct like maybe 20 or 30 minutes of loquacious information. 200, this guy wrote a book? Really? That says a lot about the level of depth of the subject, gang. You don't make a book about people skills and be like, oh, I'm just gonna talk about whatever else. No. Oh, and it's like number one in the world, right? That carries a lot of weight. And if we're not willing to recognize that, that might be a problem in and of itself. So, in any event, I hope that helps you. You have a blessed day, and I will talk to you later. Remember, when you're out there in the trenches, I'm out there with you. Stay strong.